We want to change and get out of our normal routine, which is dealing with the book of Acts. And I want to address the subject this morning of a blessed wife and mother. But what I have to say really is not limited to the ladies. And a lot of it is intended for the men as well as the children. Today is Mother's Day. By the way, in case you forgot, you still have time to wish your mama a happy Mother's Day if she's able to be wished that. You can wish it to the Lord, but if your mother, like mine, has long departed into heaven, why, you're going to have a hard time communicating with her directly. Today's Mother's Day. Something we all have in common is that each of us had a mother. Some of us were raised by our birth mothers, whereas others may have been raised by someone else. It is possible that some of you may absolutely have no idea who your birth mother was. But you're here. You had one. And God brought you into being, and you're responsible for what you do. As we think back about our mothers, maybe our grandmothers, most of us have some fond memories. Not only do we have some fond memories, but we also possess some good things our mothers instilled in us. Inasmuch as most of you ladies are still mothers, you are still able to instill in your children and grandchildren some of the same good things your mother instilled in you. Now, as you know, I can't speak as a mother or grandmother, but I can speak as a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather about what I want from my children, from my grandchildren, from my great-grandchildren, from my great-great-grandchildren, and so on. I also have children in this church who call me grandpa, even though they are not physically related to me, and I love it. Don't have them stop, please. And I love them. I want the same things for them that I want for my actual grandchildren. I even have some adults in this church who call me grandpa. And in my maturity, I recognize that they love me also. It's okay to tease me. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I enjoy being teased, but remember something. If you tease me, you might be telling me that you want me to tease you back again. So just understand, and I'm willing to do that if you insist. I'll do it even if you don't insist. How's that? I love my people. You people are precious to me. You may not realize it, but each one of you is an absolute blessing to me from the Lord. Thank you for being what you are. I'm sure you want similar things from your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and so on. Whether you're a mother or a father, or if God has never blessed you with children, what you want for the children of others, that's what I want to. For everyone in my ministry or in this service, regardless of your gender, and I'm not speaking to transgenders, but if they want to listen, they're all welcome to do so as well. They can learn the same things I'm speaking to the rest of you. I want you to know that what I'm going to say in this message, I want for all of you. I want all of my descendants and their eventual spouses to be saved at an early age and to be kept out of sin. And I pray for this for all of you, for each one of you, basically daily. I want all of them to dedicate their lives to live for the Lord, and I want them to live for the Lord. I want them to be faithful in their attendance in all the services of a biblical, doctrinally sound, Bible-teaching local church. That's what I regard this church as being. I want them to marry the spouse of God's choosing. And I want them to be living in the center of God's will for their lives. I would also be pleased if God would call some of them into his ministry where they can serve him as on a full-time basis, like my first wife and I, and also like my second wife and I have had the privilege of doing. By the way, I want the same things for all of you and for all of your descendants, as well as for all the people I've ever pastored or worked with in my various ministries, and even for all of those that listen to us over the internet, although I don't really know who they are. I call your attention to Proverbs 31:8. Make that 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I want all of your children to rise up and call you, whether you're the mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle, I want them to call you blessed because of what you are, as well as the way you live. Her husband praises her by saying in verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And it means there are lots of good women out there, but you're the best. Wouldn't that be nice if your wife would say that to you, men? There are lots of good men out there. I'm not sure how many are out there anymore, but anyway, there are lots of good men out there, but you're the best. I would like to believe that most Christian women want to have their children rise up and call them blessed, and I would also like to believe that most Christian women would like to have their husbands praise them. So how can a Christian lady accomplish these goals? How could a Christian man accomplish the same type of goals? How can the rest of us accomplish similar goals? Well, let me say this, it's not that complicated. It's by being a godly woman of the sort God wants her to be. For the rest of us who are not mothers or women, it is by being godly individuals of the sort that God wants us to be. We must be examples of the sort of people God wants us to be, and pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our friends, both of them, as well as our neighbors. There will eventually come a time when our influence is over, and we want God to answer our prayers even after we are enjoying eternal bliss in heaven. Now, I want you to think about something else. Don't leave your grandparents or great-grandparents out. There are times that I feel that as a grandfather, I'm left out in my own family. Now, that doesn't help that I pastored in Florida for 5.5 years, and I pastored in Salt Lake City for 4 years during the time they were growing up. But don't leave your grandparents out. Now, nearly everything I say in this message is applicable not only to the mothers, but also to everyone else, including the men. Concerning the woman whose children will call her blessed and whose husband will praise her, is that she has certain spiritual qualities. She's saved. She understands the truth of the gospel and the need for it. She understands the truth of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She also knows the truth of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In addition, she knows that truth of Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, meaning God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Furthermore, she knows the truth of Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess or acknowledge with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Righteousness comes as the result of believing. And with the mouth, confession or acknowledgement is made unto or regarding salvation. But it's the believing that saves somebody. The acknowledging of it later on is a demonstration of that salvation. Moreover, she knows the truth of Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that applies to what the men know about their children or their wives also. Everybody can be saved. Everybody. What they have to do is believe the gospel message. And if they will believe it, call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. Well, the woman or the man not only knows the truth of what these verses say, but she or he has also taken them seriously and done something about it. As a result, she's a saved woman, or he's a saved man. So I ask you, are you genuinely saved? If you were to die in the next 2 minutes, would you go to heaven? Or would you get the privilege of spending eternity in the lake of fire? Don't play around with this, please. She's not only saved, but she's also surrendered to the Lord. He is her Lord and Master. She is seeking to do his will in her life. I beseech you, therefore, Romans 12:1-2, by the mercies of God, the basis of your salvation, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Every believer is called upon to give himself. His body is a representative of himself. As a living sacrifice, meaning to live for God. A holy sacrifice, one set apart from sin for God. Acceptable unto God means well-pleasing unto God. Which is your reasonable service does not mean which can logically be expected of you, but means which is how you begin to worship God with your mind, rational worship. And be not conformed to this world means stop living like the unsaved crowd. Of course you lived like that until you got saved. That's all you were, part of the unsaved crowd. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's something that goes on for the rest of your life as you study the Word of God using your mind. God will be in the process of changing you, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable, meaning well-pleasing again, and perfect will of God. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Study the Bible and put it into practice in your life. I don't mean just read a chapter a day or a verse a day. I mean master it. Let it master you. And God the Holy Spirit will conform you to Christ-likeness. It isn't complicated. I didn't say that it was simple. It takes a lot. It takes some seriousness. Well, she's not only saved and surrendered to the Lord, but she's living faithfully for the Lord. How are you doing? Are you living faithfully for the Lord in a manner that it's well-pleasing to Him? That's what we all need to be doing, isn't it? Wherefore we labor, meaning we make it our aim in life, that whether present or absent, present with the Lord or absent from the Lord, but present here in the body, we may be accepted or well-pleasing to Him. Furthermore, she's more concerned with what she is than she is with what she does. What are you? You need to be a godly believer. You don't need to just look like the crowd. You need to be a godly individual. And yes, you need to be doing what is right. But if you're not what you should be, then you won't be doing the things you should be doing. But if you are what God wants you to be, then you will be doing what God wants you to be doing. She's not like the hamster. You ever watched one of them? They get on their exercise wheels in their cages, and they run and they run and they run. But you know, when that hamster stops running, he gets off. Where is he? He's the same place he was when he got on. Right where he started from. He's had all sorts of activity, but has made no progress. The godly mother, unlike the hamster, is continuously increasing in godliness. Do not equate activity with godliness. Someone may be very active, but not godly. Instead, according to 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be growing in your spiritual lives, in that realm of grace where you live, and in the knowledge, your knowledge of Christ as you study the scriptures should be increasing. Our Lord and Savior, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Notice I didn't say amen. I am not a Methodist, okay? Amen, that's a good Baptist word. In addition, she has her priorities straight. Think about what are the most important things in your life? It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom or the reign, R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N, of God and His righteousness. And all these things, meaning all your needs in life, shall be attended unto, or shall be added unto you. Moreover, she studies the Bible. You know the Bible verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. When is then? It's when you're seeking to do all that is written in the Word of God, meditating on it, putting it into practice. You want to be prosperous? Study God's Word and do what it says. You want to have success? Study God's Word and do what it says. Now, that's not what the world thinks, but who cares what the world thinks? Psalm 1:1-3 basically says the same thing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, meaning the advice of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't live like they do, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's not taking up his closest associates as those that mock things of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, which sounds very much like the scriptures. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to have prosperity in God's sight? Study God's word and put it into practice. 2 Timothy 2:15, study means make every effort to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, correctly analyzing the scriptures. You can do it. God gave you a brain. Use it. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. It's important that our children learn the scriptures, starting out with memorizing some verses here and there and everywhere, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. They don't save you, but they'll sure make your mind able to comprehend it. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, all scripture, every bit of it, every verse, every word, the whole thing is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, meaning it's good for you, for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. It shows you when you're wrong. For correction, it shows you how to straighten things out. For instruction in righteousness, shows you how to live a righteous life. As a result, that the man, and it's a generic term for man, that the person of God, might be a lady, may be perfect, spiritually mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, meaning fully equipped for all the works she needs to do or he needs to do. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, meaning as in the mirror, as a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we look at the scriptures as if they are a mirror. And as we do, God the Holy Spirit changes us into the same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It means this: as you study the Word of God, seeking to understand it, God the Holy Spirit will change you and change you and change you and change you into what we call Christ-likeness, which to me is the same as the fruit of the Spirit. Furthermore, as we go on, she seeks to obey the Bible. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In addition, she confesses and forsakes sin. Well, that's what we all need to do, isn't it? If we confess our sins, and we do have sins yet, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You try to cover them over so they can't be seen. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God wants us to confess, to own up to our sins, and to stop committing them. Furthermore, she prays. She knows the truth of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful, meaning unduly concerned, full of care for nothing. Stop being unduly concerned for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You will end up having God's peace, which is beyond comprehension. And it will garrison your hearts and minds through Christ. These things result in her being controlled by the Holy Spirit and having the fruit of the Spirit, which amounts to having Christ-likeness produced in her life. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk, means stop becoming drunk with wine, wherein is excess. I know that this is taught some by some that it means too much wine. No, it doesn't mean too much wine. It means debauchery. It's translated riot in other places. People that drink get themselves into all kinds of trouble. Immorality, for example. But instead be filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit. We read in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is the same thing as Christ-likeness, by the way, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Last but not least, she seeks opportunities for sharing the gospel. Witnessing is normal behavior for godly people. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The idea there is not that they are being commanded to be witnesses, although that is taught by some. It is the fact that they will become witnesses unto Christ wherever they go. Concerning the woman and children who will call her blessed, she not only has certain spiritual qualities, but in addition, she has practical qualities which result from her spiritual qualities. The same things are generally true for all believers, regardless of their situation in life. She faithfully attends a Bible-teaching local church, realizing that the more she exposes her mind to the truths found in the Word of God, the more God, the Holy Spirit, will produce Christ-likeness in her life. So she does her best to be fulfilled, or to be faithful in all services. She sets a proper example for her children to follow, knowing that they will turn out to be pretty much like she is, not by what she says. If she does not think it necessary for her to attend all the church services on a regular basis, she can expect that her children will also not think it necessary for them to attend all the church services on a regular basis when they're on their own. She lovingly cares for her children, requiring them to obey her. They don't have an option. Their obeying their mother is part of their obeying God, while at the same time obediently submitting to her husband's leadership. But if she's not submissive to her husband, she should realize that by lack of her proper submission to her children, she's actually demonstrating her lack of submission to the Lord Himself, who has commanded her to obey her husband. She should realize that her submission to her husband is part of her submission to the Lord himself. Furthermore, she should realize that if she's unsubmissive to her husband, she is instilling in her children the same lack of submissiveness to their father as well as to her, to say nothing of her instilling in her children the same lack of her submissiveness to God. A godly mother will certainly find herself at every turn in opposition to the modern day women's movement, which is one of Satan's tools for destroying the family. You know, the same thing can be said of the man. If he doesn't love his wife and treat her the way he should be treating her, he can expect that his children will likewise not really love their wives and will really not treat them the way they should be treated. We instill things in our children by the way we are. This business of do what I say, don't do what I do is not a good idea. Furthermore, she teaches her children practical truths throughout the day so that they can learn to function well on their own when the time comes, both spiritually and practically. The same thing could be said of the dads. She prays with her children and teaches them Bible stories and other truths from the scriptures, but so does the dad. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. She fears the Lord. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. She's faithful to the Lord, faithful to her husband, faithful to her children. She makes her children do what is right. She makes them memorize portions of scriptures. She knows the truth of Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. She makes them obey her. They don't have a choice. She makes them come to the church services. That's interesting, isn't it? She makes them participate in the services and checks up on them. She makes them listen to the preaching. She makes them use the bathroom before the service begins. I had two boys in one of my churches, and at 5 minutes before I was done preaching, faithfully in every service, they got up and went out to the bathroom. And they would stay in there until we were on the last hymn. I complimented the parents on how regular the children were. I'm not sure how they liked that. I really don't care. They were very regular. You could count on it. She loves her children. She loves her husband. She loves others. She's loyal to her husband. She gives herself to her husband. She gives herself to her children. She's not afraid to work hard. She's organized. She knows her biblical role in the home as a wife and mother. She's kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. She's godly. She teaches her children about the Lord. She teaches her children to do right. She's a woman whose children have seen her reading her Bible and praying. She has time for her children. She has time for her husband. She has integrity, and her word is good. She can manage on a tight budget. She's always genuine rather than trying to impress people. And if you got all those blanks filled in as I read them, you did quite well. There are some copies out there with the blanks already there. She's modest. Did you know her body is reserved for her husband and for no one else? She doesn't go around showing her body parts to other people. That's what modesty means. She's disciplined. She's a keeper at home. She denies herself. She's not a gossip, not a slanderer. She goes out of her way to help others. She's kind. She's thoughtful. She keeps confidences. She's always under control. She can be trusted with the family checkbook and credit cards. No wonder her children rise up and call her blessed. No wonder her husband calls her blessed and praises her, saying, there are lots of women out there, but you're the best. Thank you for being a godly mother and wife. And ladies, thank you for being godly mothers and wives, if that's your situation. What kind of woman will have her children rise up and call her blessed? It's the kind of woman who is what God wants her to be. Remember that being is more important than doing. So be the kind of woman that God wants you to be. If you're what God wants you to be, you will be doing what He wants you to be doing. What kind of woman will have a husband who will call his wife blessed and praise her? It's the kind of woman who is what God wants her to be. So ladies, be that kind of woman. You can be that kind of woman by pouring your heart and mind into the study of the Bible and doing what it says. So do it. Remember that generally speaking, aside from the specific references to women and mothers, the same or similar things are applicable to all of us. We need to be what God wants us to be. We need to be Christ-like in all aspects of our lives, and the Holy Spirit will produce this Christ-likeness, also known as the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we submit our hearts and minds to the diligent and thoughtful study of the Scriptures. So whether you're a lady, whether you're a man, whether you're a child, makes no difference. Be what God wants you to be. Be living faithfully for Him. I'm sure glad I wasn't hard on anybody this morning. I trust that you will do exactly what the Scriptures want you to do. Remember, the Scriptures are the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of studying this portion or these portions of God's Word this morning. Help our ladies to be what you want them to be. And I thank you that they basically are. And I ask that you'll help our men to be what you want them to be. And I thank you that basically they are. Help us all to be growing and maturing spiritually the more we study and submit ourselves to the Word of God. Bless these dear people. Meet their needs. Thank you for each one. In Jesus' name, amen.